Say thank you, Jesus, for dying for us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good day, everyone. Blessed Easter. Actually, blessed Resurrection Day. Praise the Lord. It's first Sunday of the month, so we'll be praying for all our children. And if you are grandparents, your children are not here, you can always join them and represent your family. If you are sick and you have a need this morning, this is a good time for you to join them. All right, let us stretch our hands and pray for all our children. Children and teachers, you did a marvelous job this morning. Praise the Lord. Can you praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Well, it's good to be home. I do have a little cold that I'm fighting from extreme heat to cold. So, but it is well. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another wonderful day that you've given to us. We thank you for dying for us. We thank you for saving us. We thank you that when you died, we died with you. When you went to the grave, we went with you. And when you rose, we rose with you. And when you ascended, we ascended with you. For we are seated in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, far above every principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world. You have put us in a higher dimension. Father, from this higher place of dimension, we come to you this morning. We commit all our families before you, all our biological children, spiritual children, partners, extended families, all over the world, relatives, we leave them before you. Children standing on this altar, and those hearing the sound of my voice, from wherever they are this morning, minister grace to everyone. Every child from age 120 plus to zero form, those in seed form, those in the womb, those walking the earth, every decade of life, we commit everyone into your hand. We declare your lordship over every one of them. We say Jesus Christ is Lord over all. We thank you, O God, that it is well with us and our household. It is well with all our children. It is well with all our seeds. We will continue to thrive and excel in the presence of the Lord. Father, may the children know you and love you all the days of their life. May they serve you, answer every prayer in the mighty name of Jesus. And they truly have communion with you. And may they have dominion in Jesus' mighty name. Pray for those that are sick, that they be healed, be restored, be made whole. Strengthen them, O Lord. Those in school age that are struggling with their homework and their schoolwork, Father, you are intelligent. Bring intelligence into their mind. Give them intelligent mind. Give them the ability to learn, to retain, to recall, and to excel. Continue to declare scholarship over them. We see you are doing your mighty works in our midst. Those that are mourning, comfort them. Those that are sick, heal them. Those that are poor, bring them to a place where they are rich. In the mighty name of Jesus, give their parents promotion, that they have more than enough to take care of their household. In the name of Jesus, where there is strife, let your healing power flow now. Every strife, leave the family. Every argument spirit, leave the family. Every spirit that is not of God, leave the family. Every spirit of pride, leave the family. Let arrogance and ways of the world leave the family. Let your peace reign. Let your love reign. Let your joy reign. In the mighty name of Jesus. If you believe so, say big amen. 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 Well, bless you, children. See you later. Spirit of the living God, we welcome you into the service. Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of knowledge, spirit of understanding, spirit of counsel, spirit of might, spirit of fear of the Lord, and all your spirit, which is your holy word. We welcome you into our lives, into the service, into our homes, our city, our nation, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. All right, it's a resurrection morning. It already happened over 2,000 years ago, but we always read because Jesus told us to remember him. So we always read the word of God on a Sunday like this. So you can turn your Bible to John chapter 20, the story of resurrection morning. John chapter 20, let me get mine open. I think there are about 31 verses, but let's start reading so we can finish. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. That's where they buried Jesus. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Remember, the sepulchre was sealed. Now the seal is broken, the stone is rolled away, so she's able to see. So we are talking about resurrection morning, not the burial. Verse 3, Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he stooping down, and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lying, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. So he's talking about John. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. They were told, but you know, you can be in church forever and ever, but the word never sink in. May you have hearing ears. May your ears hear what the Spirit is saying. Jesus told them he will rise again, but they did not believe it. So they said they did not know the scripture. Verse 10, then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they saw unto her, and they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back, and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Somebody say, may I recognize Jesus when he shows up in my life. Verse 15, Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Verse 17, Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but to go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Somebody shout hallelujah. This is a moment where we were all promoted. We became, Jesus Father became our Father. Jesus God became our God. Hallelujah. 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 Verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Somebody shout hallelujah. May Jesus appear before you in your home, in your workplace. May he show up. He doesn't need door to show up now. He can show up anywhere. Somebody shout hallelujah. Say, Lord Jesus, appear to me. I don't know if you believe that prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, appear to me. Say amen. Say amen. He's still appearing to people, and this has not stopped. Praise God. When my sister was moving to glory, he came into the room. He was there. She was having a conversation. Me and Apostle were there. We didn't see him, but she was having a good time. I had to do an interview and ask her who she talking to. She said, I'm looking at the way, the truth, and life. He didn't say Jesus is the way, truth, and life. He said, I'm looking at him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. May he appear. I want to see him too. May he appear before me. Say amen. Say amen. That's a good prayer to pray. He's appearing in the Muslim world right now to many people, difficult places. People are giving their lives to the Lord. May he appear before us. Say amen. All of the people he appeared to, they were not qualified. They don't even believe in him. They heard him, but they didn't believe. But he still appeared to them. May he appear to us in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 20, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Somebody shout hallelujah. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples, therefore, said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of nails, and put my finger into the print of nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Somebody thank God for Thomas. A lot of believers don't like him, but I'll tell you, he showed you, because of him, you have the proof that he's really Jesus. Somebody thank God for Thomas. Whether you thank God for him or not, he's one of the elders in heaven. He made it. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within. And Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. There's a second time he's doing it. So doors and windows and any kind of wall no longer have restraint against the Lord. May every barriers in our life be broken, that the Lord, the King of glory, will come in the name of Jesus. May he visit your home and your family. Verse 27, then said he to Thomas, reach thither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach thither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast what? Believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Are there believers here that have not seen Jesus that believe? For that believe only, you are blessed. It's not me saying it. That's what the Lord said. We are blessed. Somebody say, I'm blessed. Because I believe. Verse 30, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Somebody say big amen. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your resurrected anointing. We thank you that when you died, we died with you. When you were buried, we were buried with you. That's what the scripture says. And when you rose, we rose with you. And when you ascended, we ascended with you. And Lord, now we look forward to reigning with you. Your word says we shall reign with you. Father, may we reign in life because you have done all the work for us. You have finished it. You spoke it and it is finished. Sin no longer has power over any one of us. Death has no power over any one of us. We are perpetually and continuously in his presence. We thank you that we live with you forever and ever. Even in this moment, you are right here with us. We shall reign and rule with you. Father, we give you praise. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you for giving us everything. We thank you not only did you die for us, you promoted us. You were the only begotten son, but now you did not want to be the only begotten son. You now brought every one of us to become the begotten sons of God. We are the sons of God. Oh, we bless your holy name. Not only that, you made a joint heir. Everything you have inherited, you made us partakers. Partakers of your glory. Partakers of your divine nature. Partaker of your essence. Partaker of your presence. Partaker of power. Partaker of dominion. Partaker of rulership, partaker of casting out devils, partakers of seeing people healed. Lord, we give you praise. We are partakers of your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We lack nothing today. You've truly our good shepherd. You are our shepherd. We shall not want. Everything families here are looking for, whatever is going on in their home, you know the detail. Father, meet them. Meet them. Rescue them. Set them free. Make them whole. Restore them, Lord. Give them testimonies. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, heal our city. Heal our nation. Heal your people, Lord. Heal marriages. Heal children. Heal young people. Provide for them, Lord. May their heart turn to you. When the world is going wicked, may we go righteous in the mighty name of Jesus. May righteousness exalt our nation. May we move in righteousness in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, peace within her walls and her palaces, peace to your people, Lord. Save your people. Your word says all Israel shall be saved. Save all Israel. Israel, your glory. Israel, the apple of your eye. Israel, carved in the palm of your hand. Remember your everlasting covenant with our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the God who say will bless us 1,000 times more than the stars of the heaven. We thank you that your covenant-keeping God, you are doing what you say you will do. We give you praise in the name of Jesus. We thank you for breakthroughs. Church needs are met. Our city needs are met. Our nation needs are met. Out of Abraham shall all nations be blessed. So let Canada be blessed. Nigeria, be blessed. United States of America, be blessed. Bolivia, be blessed. Colombia, be blessed. Uruguay, be blessed. In the mighty name of Jesus. And all the nations of the earth, where someone is calling upon the name of the Lord, save your divine, save your people. Bring them to you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Continue to remove evil leaders and continue to put righteous leaders. We speak peace over our land. We speak righteousness over our land. We speak healing over our land. We speak prosperity over our land. We speak revival over our land. We speak joy over our land. We speak peace over our land. Lord, reign supremely. And we speak revival over our church. In the mighty name of Jesus, do only what you can do. Meet all our need. Clear every debt. Bring more than enough. Touch the hearts of your people, that they will walk righteously with you. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you for the churches we left in Africa. Strengthen them, Lord. We thank you for what you are doing. Thank you for giving us successful meetings. Continue to bless your people. Bless the pastors. Bless our leadership here. And those who were helping while we were away. Bless Pastor Paul, his wife, and the whole team. In the mighty name of Jesus. Bless Apostle, myself, our family. In the mighty name of Jesus. And all the upcoming things that we have to take care of. We thank you for strength, and we thank you for provision. And we thank you that for success for all the meetings. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for refreshing time and rejuvenation time. Father, we welcome you into the service. Let your word come now with power, with grace, with favor, with mercy, with truth, healing, deliverance, and wholeness and testimonies. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Believers who do not continue in that which God has called them to will become shipwrecked people. That's why you need to know what the truth is. What does the Word of God say? How many of us, first of all, before we make any decision, find out what does the Word of God say about this issue? Or are you defining what the truth is based on what some psychologist out there, some professor out there, some philosopher out there, some whoever out there, the government, decides is moral? That how you decide what is okay because society says it's okay?
Hallelujah. That's fundamental. The Word of God has to be foundational in everything that we do, in every decision we make. Making decisions outside the Word of God, like the Word said, gets you shipwrecked. But thank God we're people that listen to the Word of God and we follow through with what God has to say. Hallelujah. I thank God for every one of you. I thank God for this celebration. The celebration of the resurrection. The resurrection is not a myth, it's a fact. I don't have time this morning to explore that particular statement, other than to say this. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, his haters would have produced his body. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the Herodians, the Romans, the Jews, everybody, they would have found that body and said, what are you guys talking about? This is the body of Jesus Christ. Well, if Jesus had not risen from the dead, Thomas wouldn't have gone to India and died there, preaching the gospel. Peter wouldn't have been hung upside down. All the disciples would have gone through all that they went through. Most of them were martyred. It's easy to prove that Jesus did not rise again from the dead. But nobody can, because he did. And because he did, you and I can face tomorrow. Hallelujah. Somebody say, he's risen. Say, he's risen indeed. Hallelujah. It was August the 25th of 1981. I know that date very well because on August the 24th, our firstborn was born. He was born premature. He only weighed 3 pounds and 14 ounces. Certain things had not been fully developed inside of him. He was going to need surgery. But our greatest challenge was basically that we had just come into the country May the 1st of that year. We had no money. We had no insurance. And the insurance that we had did not cover this pre-existent situation. Pre-existent because Mama was already pregnant when we arrived here. And so the insurance wasn't going to cover the hospital bill. And our plan was she will go in, give birth to the baby, and I'll take my wife and my baby out. Like same day, we'll deal with our issues at home. Here comes this child, premature. Now he has to be in that hospital for at least a month. He has to gain up to 5 pounds before they let him out. Now that drove me up the wall because I knew what was happening. How are we going to pay the bill? So I went to the St. Boniface Chapel, Hospital Chapel, and I cried out to God. I said, God, what am I going to do? This is a big problem. What am I going to do? And the Lord spoke to me. He said, Romans 6 and verse 5. I was excited. Oh, God has just spoken to me. Romans 6 and verse 5. And I looked inside the chapel. There was no Bible in there. So I went to the hospital room where Mama was. I pulled the drawer and there was a Gideon's Bible. I opened and I read, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And I lost it. I lost it. Right there, I lost it. I said to God, God, I'm talking to you about my problem, and you're giving me this foolish, silly, I don't know what this verse is. What is this nonsense about? This does not solve my problem. I spent time talking to you about my problem, and you told me Romans 6, 5. I know it's you who said it. And now I'm reading, for if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. I thank God didn't kill me. Because if I were God, I would have given myself a good dirty slap. You know Archie Bunker? I'll send you to the moon. That's exactly what I would have done. But thank God I'm not God. The Lord asked me a few questions. He said, what was the likeness of my resurrection? I thought about that for a while. I said, well, when you rose again from the dead, distance was not a problem. You know, you showed up wherever it is you wanted to show up. He said, what else? I said, you went through walls like it wasn't there. He said, do you think that this problem that you're facing right now, from where you are to when you pay the bill, that's distance? I said, yes. Do you think this problem is like a wall, a barrier, a limitation to you right now? I said, yes. He said, then if you have been planted together in the likeness of my death, you shall also be in the likeness of my resurrection. And whoo, I got it. I didn't have any problem. If I died with him and I rose again from the dead, then just like there was no distance and no limitation, that's what I am going to experience. You know, when you've acted the fool and God shows you your foolishness but doesn't call you a fool, you try to find a hole to hide. Ha! All that frustration, all that anger melted away. Because now I knew the truth. The truth was found in the Word of God. It was right there before me, but I did not know it. I did not know it until He led me to the truth. I rejoiced. Thank you, Father. This problem is solved. But then they said, we need to do surgery on him. Because certain things were not fully developed and they needed to do some fixing on his inside. This is a 3-pound, 14-ounce baby. It was just barely bigger than my palm. And they're going to start doing surgery on him. We said to the doctor, hold off till tomorrow. We're going to talk to God. He said, talk to God all you want, but the surgery is going to happen tomorrow. We cannot delay because he could not stool, he could not excrete, nothing. So Mama and I talked to the father. In a few hours, everything was functional. They didn't have to do the surgery. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We were beginning to experience this move of God. If we were planted in the likeness of his death, we also rise in the likeness of his resurrection. But we still had the bill. We started paying. And then one day we went to pay a few months later and said, you don't have a bill here. I said, what do you mean we don't have a bill? We have thousands of dollars that we need to pay. And we've not even paid $200. And you're telling us, you say, we don't have a record of any bill that you have here. I said, you don't have a record? They said, no. And please don't go tell St. Boniface Hospital that we didn't complete that payment. We took off out of that place, praising the Lord. Hallelujah. God had taken care of even the bill. The baby is there. He was there for a whole month. How is it that we have no bill when we hadn't paid that much? I don't know who God used, but somehow that bill was cleared up, and there was no record that we ever had a bill there. If you died in the likeness of his death, If you are planted in the likeness of his death, you shall be also. You shall what? Be also. You'll be also in the likeness of his resurrection. The theme of this conference this weekend has been authorized to rise. Do you know the Bible teaches us that Jesus did not need the stone to be rolled away for him to rise from the dead? He rose in spite of it. He came out of that tomb in spite of it. The stone was rolled away as evidence for the people who could not see beyond the limitation. I say to you this day in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that you don't need anything on the outside to change for you to experience your divine breakthrough. We think this has to happen and that has to happen and this has to happen and that has to happen and this has to happen and that has to happen for this to happen. And God says, none of that has to change. Not if I'm with you. We don't need a boat to cross these vast waters. I've got feet. I can walk on water. Well, Jesus, you can't do that. Water, you'll sink. No. Not when I've got the faith of God in me. Peter says, watch this. Peter says, when Jesus is walking across the water, he says, if that's you, bid me come. And Jesus says, come. And the guy plunks and starts walking. And he walks a distance. The problem that Peter had was not the water. And the Bible says that, watch this. This is very, very important. This is extremely important. I don't want you to miss this point. Because the most dangerous point in your life is when you're close to completing and fulfilling your destiny. It's the most dangerous point. He's coming, and he's just by Jesus, and he begins to get distracted and starts looking around. And he saw and experienced what he has been walking through. He saw the storm, the boisterous storm around him. But he was already where Jesus was, because the Bible says when he started sinking, when he saw all of that, and when he cried out, Jesus stretched out his hand. Jesus did not run to him. So he was right there. He was sinking right where Jesus was. He was sinking where Jesus was. How can you be sinking where you when you are right there at your destination? Well, when you start thinking about all the problems, you see, sometimes you lose it when you start thinking about all the things God got you through. It's a strange thing. You start sinking for many reasons. And sometimes it is sinking because you now think you did it. I made it happen. I got all this way based on my strength and my ability. You see, Peter wasn't thinking that. Of course he was thinking that, because he saw that storm and he started thinking, I came through this. You cannot take credit for what God has done. Not with you saying, oh, I fasted and I prayed for 25 hours and that's why it happened. No, 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 no. It was God's mercy, God's grace that kept you. If you are planted in the likeness of his death, you also rise in the likeness of his resurrection. It is all about him. It's never been you. Because if you think about yourself, you are going to bang your head against that wall. Thinking, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. Boom! No, no. He can do it through me. Hallelujah. Through me, God is going to do extraordinary things today. He is a God who builds his church, and the government, the gates of hell, will never prevail over his church. We are God's people. Do you understand? Somebody shout hallelujah. The enemy wants to point you at your problems and tell you how impossible the situation is. And then you're going to try to build yourself based on the limited information you've got. I can do this, but I cannot do that. I can this, but I can't that. But God says, distance is not a problem with us. The likeness of his resurrection. Let me say some things to us this morning that may sound rather off when you're thinking natural. Jesus died and dies no more. The likeness of his resurrection is death no more. The likeness of his resurrection is that sickness and disease are no longer on him. He took on your sickness and your diseases. Now, the likeness of his resurrection is sickness free. Praise the Lord. Do I see myself as an individual that can be free of sickness? Or do I think that sickness is going to be always part of my life? The word of God says that our youth is renewed like the eagles. Yes? Is it possible that we can live resurrection life now and our youth is renewed? That this is not an issue of oil of Olay? Is that possible? That I can be renewed, I can stay strong, I can stay healthy. But why don't I experience it? Well, because I think natural. I think based on the experiences of people, not the experiences of Jesus. I don't think Jesus is right now 2,000 plus years old. Long beard. When we think about God, we think about this old man with long beard. Yeah, that's God. I think if God were to open your eyes to see him, and we would not see God, but if he were to, he might just be a young man. He might just look young. Resurrection life says to you and I, forever young. If he's coming for a church without spots or wrinkles, maybe God is saying to us, his church, I don't want you with spots or wrinkled up. You mean, is it possible that I can go to sleep and wake up looking younger than when I went to sleep? Absolutely. Why don't we experience it? Because we don't believe it. We've not engaged our faith in believing that God can renew our strength. Any wonder that the Lord came to me? I didn't see him physically, but I heard his voice, and it was coming from the left side. He said, I'm still looking for somebody to believe me not to die. I said, huh? What are you talking about? He said, I'm still looking for somebody to believe me not to die. I said, is that something? He said, didn't I say I am the resurrection and the life? If you believe in me, you shall not die. I said, yes, that's what your word says. Well, I'm still looking for somebody to believe me not to die. I said to the Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Ah, there's so much in the kingdom of God that is founded on the resurrection of Jesus Christ that we need to tap into. But we still are playing church. Every one of us, we're still playing church. But God takes all of this seriously. He said, there's one here amongst us that will not die until he sees the kingdom of God. And everybody identified the person to be John. And they started harassing him. He said, what's your problem? What's your problem, guys? What's your problem? Now they try to kill John. They try to boil him in hot oil. They put him in the island of Patmos and try to lock him in and all of that. And meanwhile, the guy is busy seeing the book of Revelation. John only died. John would have still been hanging around, except that he says, all my friends are gone. What am I doing here? I want to go too. They couldn't kill him. They could not kill John. And I say to you that you are not killable. Praise the Lord. He said, Pastor, this is way too much. Come on, how can you believe in that? I'm just believing the word of God. That's all I'm doing. I'm believing the word of God. I believe that if God says this is what he's saying, then that's what he's saying. And he says that he will do exceedingly far beyond that which I dare ask or think. So even if I was wrong, God can still match up and say, hey, you believe in me not to die? Okay, let's do it. But knowing me, after hanging around and everybody's gone, I say, oh, with all this nonsense they are doing, these people are legislating that and legislating that. Get me out of here before I see nonsense. But the reality is this. God loves you and I. He paid the perfect price. And he says to you and I, I'm authorizing you to rise up. Come up. Come up higher. Think differently. You died with me. The word of God says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It is Christ that lives in me, the anointed one that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So I'm not even living life by my faith. I live by his faith. And he says, if you have God's kind of faith, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. And if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have what you say. That's what the word of God says. And we've come into this relationship because of what Jesus Christ our Lord did. We limit God by our thoughts, by our attitudes. We shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. In Romans chapter 8, beginning to read from verse 11, God is speaking through Paul to us, and he says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that is the Spirit of God. He that raised up Christ from the dead, that is God the Father, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. He shall quicken your mortal bodies. Your mortal bodies. So this body is mortal. But when he quickens it, it becomes immortal. So there is a place for immortality. Hallelujah. Eternity does not begin when you die. Eternity is now. Praise God. And God needs to bring us to that place where we begin to live longer and longer. Now, when sin came into the world, at the early stages, people were living up to 900 and something years. Yes? So, being 70, you've not even started. Yes? Well, sin brought about the decay that brought about death. Up to the extent that God says, if you even make 70, you're doing good. Well, when Jesus Christ came, that was reversed. Because God did not allow his body to suffer corruption. So the body of the resurrected Christ is not corruptible. Praise the Lord. So if that is the case, then it must apply that when I receive him, that corruption ceases to exist. The reason we die is because of corruption. Our blood is corrupted. Our systems are corrupted. There's inflammation. There's all kinds of nonsense going on. But the spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead, he says that same spirit dwells in you, that same spirit will quicken your mortal bodies. It's not just talking about resurrection from the dead. It's talking about those who are yet alive will also be caught up. Do you know that the Bible talks about in the last days that people are going to try to die, but they can't die? Huh? Yes? Okay, so if in the flip side, that is a possibility because people are wicked and they're trying to die to escape, and God says, you're not dying. That same God who says you are not dying can also keep you and I alive. Is this making sense to somebody? I know it's strange thinking because we're not spiritually trained to think like that. We've become carnal-minded people, and carnal-minded people are enemies of God and die. I'm not planning on dying anytime soon. Glory be to God. I know people die, and it's not because they are bad people, but the fact is, if you and I don't apply the Word of God, then that part of the Word of God that we do not apply does not become our reality. Once upon a time, you know, you've heard me talk about how I didn't want to be a minister of the gospel, not at least not full-time. I was willing to go preach, but I wasn't willing to go full-time while God was calling me. And I resisted the call of God for a whole 2 years. I resisted it. And in fact, I really shut God down because I opened the Bible and I showed him in the scriptures. I opened the Bible to Ephesians 6. I said, let me show you something. Because every day God will be bugging me, wants me in the ministry. I said, I don't want to be in the ministry. Why didn't I want to be in the ministry? Because all the pastors at that time in the 70s were broke. If you were riding a bicycle, you're doing good. We used to call the kind of bicycle that meant that you're doing good white spab. It's like silver color. Yeah, that guy is doing good. Ay, ay, ay. Me doing that? No. I'm not going to be a preacher. Not like that. I'm going to be a businessman. I'm going to be whatever else. But a preacher, never. I'm not doing that. I'll go and witness for you every day. I will go. But behind our pulpit, that I'm a pastor? No, we're not doing that. And so I called on God. And I said, let me read you something here. It says here, honor your father and your mother. He said, you see this here? My father does not want me to be a preacher. And I shut God down for 6 months. 6 months, I didn't hear a peep from God. He didn't send anybody to come talk to me because I quoted his word. And God holds his word above all his names. He held on to that word. So I said, okay, you think you're so smart? I'll show you. So September 5th of 1976, minding my business, leading just like Brother Kingsley was leading the young people today. I'm with the choir, and we're doing a special number, a Negro spiritual, during a Thanksgiving service. And we came to a point where we're singing, free at last, free at last. I thank God I'm free at last. Free at last, free at last. Alleluia. And I heard my name, Michael. I had not heard my name called for about 6 months. Michael, today your father is going to give you up to the work of the ministry, and I don't want to hear any more excuses from you. Who's calling me? What's that? 30 minutes in, my dad was offering me in the offering plate. I'm giving my only son to God today. And the power of God hit that church, flattened everybody. We didn't know anything about falling under the Spirit. We knew no such thing. We'd not seen that happen. But people fell under the power of God. The whole place was flattened. Then demons are crying out, taking off. And I'm on the stage with my hands up. I don't know if I walked there or God grabbed me by the collar and just slam dunked me right there in the center stage. But I was there with my hands up. That was September 5th of 1976. If I had not disobeyed God for 2 years, I would have been 52 years in ministry already. Because he started calling me 2 weeks, 2 weeks after I got saved. And would you believe this, if I told you this? We used to have Bible knowledge as a subject in school. Yeah? I flunked Bible knowledge. F9. Like F, big F. And 2 weeks after I got saved, God is calling me, the F9 guy. Because he was not depending on what I knew or didn't know. It was depending on what he can do with a life. Because, hey, what am I going to say? I knew all of this stuff before?
No, I didn't know anything. But he was calling me up higher. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's how I came. And here the word of God tells us in Romans chapter 8, it makes this comment. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, does the spirit of God dwell in you? Then he that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. So for the quickening to take place, the spirit of God has to dwell in us. But what spirit? The words that I speak unto you, they are what? Spirit, and they are what? Life. You have to have the word of God inside of you. You're a Christian, but you don't know the word of God. You've not spent time studying the word of God. You've not spent time embracing the word of God. You've not spent time obeying the word of God. And you expect God's power to flow in you and through you? No, it is by his spirit that dwelleth in you that he raises you up. We are authorized to rise up based on the word of God that we have in us. He says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. If you've got God's resurrection life in you, you are no longer indebted to the influence of the flesh. The flesh no longer has control over your life because you have mortified the deeds of the flesh. It says, for if you live after the flesh, if you're living after the flesh, you shall die. You're going to die. Proof that you're going to die is you're living after the flesh. But if you, through the Spirit, through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, do mortify, kill the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So you have to kill something to live. Hello? You're not going to live the life of God without killing the things of the flesh. You and I have to say to high blood pressure, die out of my life. Be removed from my life. We've got to say to cancer, die from my life. We've got to say to diabetes, die from my life. Whatever it is, die, 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 die. I have to live for God, so you must die. Because if the flesh has control, you're going to die. But if you mortify the deeds of the flesh, the thinking, the mindset of the flesh, then you're going to live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They're not just authorized to be sons of God. As many as believed him, to them he gave the power, the authority to become the sons of God. But if you're led by the Spirit of God, led by the words of God, then you are a son of God. Hallelujah. 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 You're a son of God. Why? Because you've not received the spirit of bondage, of limitation, again to fear. When God delivers you and I, we are delivered, but we have the choice to go back to believing the lies of the enemy and living in the realm of fear. But God says, you don't have to be that way because you've received the spirit of adoption. You have been adopted. And the spirit of adoption causes you to cry out, Abba, Father, like the Lord Jesus Christ, I am going to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. That's how we got adopted. We got adopted to become part of the family of God. We became the begotten ones of God. We became born again of the Spirit of God. And our spirit begins to cry out, Abba, Father. Not out of fear or doubt or confusion, But Abba, Father, from a position of endearment, we are surrendering ourselves to God and say, you're my Father. You're my Father. You're my Father. You know, the Lord teaching us how to pray says, pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Lord, let your name be hallowed. Let your name be honored. Praise God. God's name is not honored when I'm sick. God's name is not honored when I'm broke. God's name is not honored when I'm confused. God's name is not honored when I'm living in fear. I need to embrace my sonship. And as we embrace the sonship of God, certain things begin to unfold. He says, we've not received the spirit of bondage, but the spirit of sonship. Verse 16, Romans 8, 16 says to us, the spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. I'm a spirit that has a soul that lives in a body. Praise the Lord. So God's spirit deals with spirit. It deals with your spirit. Now your spirit, now being in connection with God, begins to reign, control, and influence over your soul, which is the realm of your will, your intellect. It deals with it. When your soul wants to go in a particular direction, it says, no, come back here. The Word of God says differently. That's not what the Word of God says. You're going to do what the Word of God says. Because every word of God is a command to be obeyed. When your body says, we're going to be sick, you say, no, we're not doing that. There's no corruption in me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I refuse that corruption. The devil says, we're broke and we don't have anything to solve this problem. He says, no, we're not doing that. My sufficiency is in God. Hallelujah. Praise the word of God. Jesus lifted up the bread and he broke it and he fed the multitude. Is that what he did? So we take the word of God and we begin to break that word of God. And revelation and infusion begins to take place. We are empowering ourselves in our spirits. He says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I'm a child 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 of God. I need to sing that into my spirit, recognize the reality of that, and remember what the Word of God says in Psalm chapter 2 and verse 8. What does it say? Jesus is declaring through the psalmist, I will declare the decree. In verse 7, I'll declare the decree. Colon. Meaning that if the subsequent statement is clarifying the first one, the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. Ah, the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. Oh, the decree is, you're my son. God says, you are my son. It's a decree. It's a declaration from God. God said, I am his. That means I do not belong to the devil. That means I do not belong to myself. I belong to God. It's a decree. But we act like we belong to ourselves. It's my body. I'll do whatever it is I want to do with it. No, it's not your body, and you cannot do anything that you want to do with it because your body is a temple of the living God. God lives in you. Hallelujah. That's why we must not bring corruption into our body. That's why we don't take drugs and fill it into our body, because this body belongs to God. I cannot defile this body with drugs. I cannot defile this body with alcohol. I cannot defile this body with fornication and adultery. I cannot defile this body with the foolish things of this world. This body belongs to God. And as long as it belongs to God, corruption cannot be part of it. Therefore, I can say now, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I belong to God. It's a decree from God. God says, I have begotten you. Goats give birth to goats. Maybe you call it kids, but it's a goat. Yeah? Dogs give birth to dogs. God gives birth to God. Hallelujah. 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 When Jesus rose again from the dead, he gave us access to becoming godlike, not captured and limited by the things of this world, but alive, incorruptible. In fact, the Word of God says the Word of God that you and I were born again by is an incorruptible seed. Incorruptible seed, the incorruptible Word of God. That's what you and I got born again by. We were begotten of God, and he says, it's a decree. I say you are my son. And my first act of obedience is to say, yes, sir, I belong to you. I'm your son. And from that moment, refuse any lie of the enemy that says you're a son of the devil. I'm not a son of the devil. I'm a son of the living God. Are you a son of the Most High God? Hallelujah. Now the women might say, well, how come it doesn't say daughter of the living God? God only has sons. Hallelujah. But then I can also complain and say, he says that me, a guy, I'm a bride. So we balance. It's balance. So what does God say? He says, as a son, ask of me. Ask me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. Wait a minute. I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. That's what it said. He said, ask me, and I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance. No, that must mean, therefore, that the heathen doesn't even have himself. He is in the hand of God. And God says, me, a son, I can ask him for the heathen, and the heathen has no choice but to come. What is the... But doesn't he have his own self-will? He has his own will. He can choose whatever it is that he wants to choose. And God says, there comes a time that your free will is no longer free. When I have you and I want you to be saved, I don't want you in hell. I don't want you lost. And if I have to override your will on that so that the devil doesn't have you, I will do that. But I need sons to ask me. I need sons to ask me. Praise the Lord. Are you a son? Then we need to start asking God for the heathen, for the ungodly, for those who do not know him, and say, you must be saved. You must be saved. That devil that is holding you in bondage must break free from you right now. The grip of death has no longer any authority over you. I am declaring this day, that my brother, you are going to come to salvation. If I'm going to have to drag you fighting, you come in. You're coming. You have no choice. You have no choice. You're going to get saved. You're not going to hell. I refuse for you to go to hell. That is what God is calling you and I to. As men and women that have been resurrected. Peter, the devil wanted to just swipe you and use you to clean the floor. But I prayed for you. When you strengthen your brothers. Yeah? Go.
Go into all the world, preach the gospel, set the captives free. He says, also ask me for the utmost parts of the earth for thy possession. So I'm going to grant you possessions in different places. Just ask me, where do you want it? I want somewhere in, I want Hawaii. He says, okay, you got Hawaii too. Because I'm all over. And there's no limitation. It's me that limits God. God is not limited. He says, it is the traditions of men that have made the word of God of none effect. Traditions, mindsets, ideologies, and philosophies of life that say you can only go this far and no more. And we buy into it and we limit ourselves. And God's saying, take the limits off. I'm giving you the authority to rise. Because my glory is risen upon you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's go back to Romans 8. And I'll begin to wrap here. Romans 8. Verse 17. He says, and if children, then heirs. Remember what we talked about? The ones that ask for the hidden, for their inheritance, those are heirs of God. Heirs of God. And joint heirs with Christ. What did Jesus come for? He came for the whole world. And God is saying, I want you to participate in taking hold of the whole world. That's why we're going to be going further into nations. That's why we do missions. Because we're going into places where there's resistance. I remember going to this particular country. I won't mention the country because they're very hostile to the gospel, but that doesn't stop us. But I don't want to create any unnecessary hindrances for myself. And the man of God said to me after we finished this mighty crusade and the power of God moved mightily, he said to me, he said, do you know where we took you to? I said, yeah, to that town. Now, let me tell you where you went and how impossible what happened there, the things that happened there, how impossible those things were. That is the headquarters in this whole nation. That's the headquarters of the highest level of occultism, witchcraft, Satanism, the seat of Satan in our nation. That's where we took you to. I said, no wonder. Here we were in this particular community and there are no real nice roads. The place was as poor as you can imagine. He said, people see dead people moving around in there, in that town. He says, that's why we just took you to, and the power of God smashed that whole place, and people are getting saved. He says, brother, you have to keep on coming. So they always take me, I stop asking now. They always take me to the toughest, hardest places that nobody wants to go to. The last one we went to, there were Hindus and Muslims out there with stones, hauling at people with guns, and we came in there. You've heard me tell the story about how there was rain, a mighty torrential rain that poured,
and the whole place was wet, flooded. But we had to have the meetings. But when we got there, the place that they showed me on video, and one of these is, I'll find that video again and show it to you. The place is flooded. When it was time to minister the word of God, it was dry ground. In 2-3 hours, it was dry ground. Outside was still soaking wet, but where we're going to have the meetings was dry ground. That's the power of God. That's God's power in action, and God saying, hey, I'm in charge here, and the devil is not. Somebody shout hallelujah. God, the God we serve, is an awesome God. And he's awesome in you. He's awesome in me. He is awesome in us. Somebody shout hallelujah. He says, if you're children, then you are heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 18. For I reckon that the present sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. There's a glory that should be revealed in us. And Isaiah says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. So we are not going to push it up further down this point, but rather that God who glorified his Son, and that Son that is in us, is causing us to walk in glory today. Hallelujah. What are we waiting for? Verse 19 says, it says, for the earnest expectation, somebody say the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. All creation is waiting for our manifestation. Hallelujah. And I declare by the authority of the word of God that the God who said, this day have I begotten you, you are my son, that he's going to manifest his glory in us and through us. It doesn't have to be a whole lot of people at the same time, but somebody's got to start breaking out and breaking forth. And that person is going to be me, and that person is going to be you. Do you receive that word? Then shout hallelujah to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We have been authorized to rise, and that we will do. Rise with me. Say after me these words. Father God, I receive your word. I hear today that there are no limits, no limits that can hinder me, no distance that I cannot leap over. This day, I declare as your son that your glory is resting upon my life, and I will be everything you say I am. This day, I declare in the mighty name of Jesus that all things are subject to me by the authority of your word. Satan and all his cohorts are under my feet. I declare by the authority of your word that the heathen come to salvation. I command by the authority of your word that that which is in your hand you give to me now, because I ask, I ask, I ask, I ask as a son for the heathen, for my inheritance, and the utmost parts of the world for my possession. In the mighty name of Jesus, I take possession of that which you have called me to take possession of. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I want you to pray in that vein right now. Just begin to pray to God. Ask God to do something with your own mouth, with your own words, begin to declare your salvation, your freedom, your deliverance, your resurrection life right this very moment. For the glory of God is revealed in you and the authority of God is manifested in you. We are the manifestations of the sons of God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we refuse to wait no longer. We say now, 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 manifest your glory, manifest your splendor, manifest, oh God, in us sonship, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, oh God, do something extraordinary with our lives now, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let your glory rest upon our lives. Father, as we go through, oh God, life and crisscross, oh God, through this land, let your glory go with us. Let your presence go with us. Let healing power flow, oh God, effortlessly. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, let the sick be healed. Let the dead be raised. Let, oh God, those that are weak be made strong. Let those, oh God, that are impoverished experience supernatural prosperity. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for lives that have been changed now. That, Lord, oh God, that those that are unserious about the things of the Spirit will begin now to become serious, committed, oh God, to the things of your Spirit, following through, oh God, with your word, and being sons of the Most High God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father, for household salvations now, oh God. Freedom, oh God, from limitations. Freedom, oh God, from addictions. Freedom, oh God, from everything, oh God, that is not of you. We declare in the name of Jesus that judgment comes upon every force of darkness. And Lord, oh God, that your people begin to shout the shout of victory, because glory has come upon your people. We rise, we rise, we rise in the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You may be seated. At this time, we're going to honor God with our giving. I've challenged us to give towards missions, but do not take away from what you will normally do in honor of God when you give. But those of you that have the mission mind in you, also sow towards missions. And as we give in honor of God, we will also be asking for the hidden, for our inheritance and the utmost parts of the world, for our possessions. The word of God says, on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance. Hallelujah. God says in his word in Isaiah, we will possess our possessions in him. So as you come today, come filled with expectancy. Let God use you and I to fund the things of the kingdom and to see lives forever changed. Amen. Come, honor God with your giving. And then we are going to, right after we honor God with our giving, we're going to share in communion together. Hallelujah. And then tonight, we will be having the last service in the authorized to rise conference. It is going to also be an anointing service. Come expecting God's power to flow in you and through you as you come tonight. Let God do for us extraordinary things. Hallelujah.
Does anyone need communion? You didn't have your communion element. There's some hands over there. There's a wave over there. One over there. You know, the world talks about healing foods. Well, the greatest healing food you can have is communion. Amen. As you take communion today, let every parasite in your body die. Hallelujah. Let every cancerous cell in your body die. Praise the Lord. Anything that does not belong in your body, that's bringing corruption to your body, bringing corruption to your mind, dies today. Alzheimer's dies today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. But we also speak in resurrection life to areas in your body that have died that should live. If there are nerves that have died that need to be refired, in the mighty name of Jesus, we command those areas to be refired now. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. We speak total correction. Hallelujah. Let everything in your body, everything in your soul be corrected now to the glory of God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Let your thinking be corrected now in the mighty name of Jesus. Let mindsets that are wrong be erased now in the mighty name of Jesus. Let there be a quickening in your spirit, a quickening in your soul, a quickening in your body in the name of Jesus Christ. Let your youth be renewed like the eagles in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Be healed, be restored, and be made every whit whole. Somebody shout, hallelujah! Say, I receive it now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Glory be to God. 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 In the name of Jesus Christ, let everything that's been stolen from you be restored back now. In the mighty name of Jesus, finances restored. Relationships that have been destroyed, restored now. In the name of Jesus Christ, marriage is restored. In the name of Jesus Christ, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, rise by the authority of the living God. In the name of Jesus Christ, let monies that have been stolen from you be restored back to you now. In the name of Jesus Christ, let it come quickly back to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, receive total restoration now. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Mama, come. Kandarabu shakata labura kasikaya. Thank you for the blood. Hallelujah.
This is the body of Christ Jesus called, took bread, broke it, and said, this is my body. When we take this, let us take perfect exchange. His body is broken so that us will be whole. Somebody say, I take in wholeness.
I take in wholeness.
I take in divine health.
I take in divine health.
I take in restoration.
I take in restoration.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
You believe that, say amen. Take and eat.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We take off this cup, the cup of healing, the cup of covenant. The God who remembers covenant for us. We take off this cup and we receive every covenant blessing. Thank you, Lord, for the miraculous. Thank you, Lord, for your glory revealed. Take and drink in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Wasn't the worship team amazing this morning, and the children's choir just amazing this morning. We thank God for all of your ministration and the Christian Air Department for their leadership. Hallelujah. Just, you may be seated for a moment.